everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. And what a week it has been. We have seen the power and fire of Elon Musk and Doge through what many are now seeing as new media with X. I want to say social media, but the truth of the matter is it's only X. But we have seen the wrath of Elon with the continuing resolution bill. We are going to talk about that. More specifically, we're going to talk about some of the sheer stupid is the only word that comes to my mind in terms of some of the stuff. But who's stupid? Us, the constituent who lets this pass, or the congressman who put these items in there? And we also had a validation report come out this week by the Wall Street Journal that talks about Joe Dementia and how the administration has been hiding his deteriorating mental acuity, not just the last couple of years, but since 2020. This opens the door up to, if they can do this, what else have they done? And as my friend Big John says, William, you got to get off voter fraud. But man, if they can do this with a sitting president, what can they do at the ballot box? So we're going to talk about that, as well as some quick hits from around the world, ranging from whether Justin Trudeau will survive and will we see a 25th Amendment with Joe Biden and see the first Black, Indian, Latina, hip-hop, urban president who we don't know if she's female or not, only because of the Democrats' rules of how they view a woman. But you get my point. And with that, my friends, let me bring in tonight's crew. We have Mr. G. Mangani here. G, how are you doing, brother?
Doing well. How are you?
We have our guest, Mr. Jamie Miller, and he is joining us. Jamie is our encyclopedia when it comes to all things Republican. Mr. Jamie, I hope your Christmas has been going well.
It is. Thanks for having me on.
You're most welcome. Well, thank you for being on. And we have a surprise guest tonight. Miss Annette Ross is not able to join us tonight because she is with the family in Bumbleep, Egypt. Right now, where in essence, they have no Wi-Fi connection. So we are going to have our local libertarian, Mr. TDS himself, Big John T. Georgopoulos. Big John, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, but my TDS is in high gear because, you know, I told you guys off camera, here in my neighborhood, not less than 3 minutes away, there's a Trump store that opened up. Yes, there is an entire retail space. I'm not talking about a shoebox, William. An entire retail space got its own property parking lot dedicated to selling nothing but Donald Trump trinkets for Christmas. So if you're ever anywhere in Long Island, New York, and you feel the urgent need to buy tons of Trump-branded stuff, head on out to Suffolk County. You'll find yourself possibly the only Trump store that I'm aware of in the United States.
Well, you know, Big John is a tall guy, and like all of us, gaining that girth, I think he's probably going to get a little side job there playing Donald Santa Trump there.
I might. Yeah.
Mr. Jamie, before we get going, tell the audience a little bit about your background and what you bring to the table tonight as we dissect the CR bill and what's happening with new media.
Yeah, I've worked in mostly Florida political campaigns for about 30 years. I'm a former executive director of the Republican Party of Florida and have consulted on campaigns from a rural bond issue for an emergency room to being a senior advisor in Florida to Newt Gingrich's presidential campaign.
Ooh, you know, Newt Gingrich changed politics on that debate stage. I can't even remember what it was that he said, but it was classic. I mean, that kind of vaulted him into actual contention. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
2012?
On the debate stage? Yeah,
it was 2012, and it was prior to the South Carolina, but I don't recall the exact exchange that you're recalling.
It made news around the way. Maybe that was the beginning of the seeds of this new way we do politics. And Mr. G. Mangani, you of the Rancho Santa Fe School Board, you're not tarring and feathering any kids before the holidays, are you?
No. But it's never a dull moment on the school board here. There's always something going on.
And I got big news. You know, I am going to start investigating. I'm meeting with somebody actually tomorrow about starting a new grassroots organization, something I just don't have the time to do. Have been looking for somebody to mentor, to show the ropes, and hopefully I'll get that going here soon, because I don't think the Republican Party of California cares enough to take advantage of the 5 to 10 point swing, depending on what parts of California you're in, of Democrats voting red. And even though it was 5 to 10 points in some parts, it was still like 10 to 15 points behind some of these races that we were in. We lost more races congressionally this go round than we had the last two cycles, for people that aren't aware. All right, so let's get into it, my friends. The Mensa's delight, the Biden administration's four-year nap. The Wall Street Journal came out with a key report. I cannot lie. I do not have a subscription to the Wall Street Journal, and it is behind a wall, but there were plenty of articles that broke it down in great detail. God bless those two rags in Britain, the Daily Mail and somebody else, because they take anything and they break it down in depth. It talked about his diminished capacity. Some reports suggest, you know, obviously they don't suggest, we all saw his mental and physical capacity diminish. But more importantly, they talk about a shadow government. You know, officials like Jake Sullivan were taking on more responsibilities typically reserved for the president. Then there was the media and public management. They would just flat out cancel events where he was having a bad day. And this, I would try to tell people, dementia, somebody who has dementia has good days and bad days. And as the day goes on, there's something called the sundowner effect. That's why you saw the, you know, a lot of his issues that we saw were in the evening. Interactions with staff and cabinet. They stopped doing them in person and were doing them via Zoom, with some people said, I don't even care to meet with him anymore. He doesn't care. Nobody cares. And they didn't realize they were hiding him. So there was operational concerns, you know, long meetings. He couldn't even hang in there, you know. So, Jamie, as a veteran of these wars, as somebody who's getting up there in age, as we all are, and we're all experiencing more and more individuals, give us your thoughts on that from the perspective of somebody who's been in the trench war, somebody who's seen some of these older candidates. Have you seen this before at all, maybe in a different level?
No, I don't know that I've seen it before. We have to kind of remember in 2020 that Joe Biden ran a campaign that where he campaigned less than anyone since the Front Porch Campaign of 1880 by James Garfield. And So this should not be a surprise to anybody. This is something that has been going on. In fact, the Biden people thought it was such a good strategy. They thought they'd try it out on Kamala Harris her first 30 or 45 days. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, she didn't have enough time. I was like, well, she squandered about the first 40 days of the campaign. Remember, she hid from the press. She didn't have an interview. She didn't talk to the American people. And at the end of the day, she never told people who she was, what she wanted to do, or why she was qualified to do it.
I think you hit it right on the head. I forgot all about the basement campaign. Gee, let's piggyback on that. I think it was all the hate towards Trump. That was a peak hate towards Trump. And I think that allowed Biden to overcome. And we're not going to get into the voter, the ballots and the mail-ins and districts where there were more ballots than there were registered people, because that's finally coming to light. But that said, do you think that this cover-up was so good they were able to manipulate just the election to certain degrees? Again, the Hunter Biden laptop is election interference.
Yeah, in 2020, I mean, think back then, Jack Dorsey and Zuckerberg, they could decide what showed up on Twitter and Facebook, right? So they could hide and basically stuff these stories. And so what do you have left? Some forums? 4chan? Yeah, I don't think any of us read 4chan, but I mean, if you want to get some information, that's where you would get it. The mainstream media was pretty much in the tank for Biden. So this is like FDR, right? Back then, all you had was the mainstream media, and most people didn't even know he was in a wheelchair. But for those of us who were paying attention, we knew this from the beginning. I mean, I knew it from the beginning, 2020, but I just didn't know to the extent when I read that article. I didn't realize it was from day one that he was not meeting with National Security Advisor or some of the other people, but, you know, when he's calling President or Kamala President Harris from, I think it was January, February 2021, I knew something was off pretty quickly.
No, I agree. I agree. Big John, I apologize to the audience. I asked Big John to come on last minute, so I'm going to give him a little leeway. But that said, Big John, you and I always had these discussions off camera and as friends and as a self-proclaimed TDSer, my take to you, if you remember, whenever some of these things always happen, is I always go to you. I don't want to get into it right now because it's a media. It's one-sided. You can't get another word. I'll wait for this stuff because it will eventually come out. It's coming out. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, like, I mean, when it comes to the media, we always knew they've had a leftward slant, right? Because the extent to which it is, though, has always varied. Like, I remember when we first met, I always tried to convince you that Walter Cronkite was a communist. And you kept saying, no, no, not Uncle Walter, right? But we've known it. I've known it ever since I kid. In high school, I always used to jokingly refer to the New York Times as Pravda West. We all understood where the bias of the media was, and that was typically because, the left was a stronger protector of First Amendment rights, or at least perceived, than the right. So it was in the self-interest of journalists to have a liberal slant. Now that's not the case anymore, certainly. And even at the height of my wanting Trump to fail, if you recall, when they kicked him off Twitter, I was upset at that move. I didn't think he should have ever been kicked off of Twitter, even though I disagree with nearly every tweet he ever put out. So if you're talking about the concept, yeah, I'm agreeing with you on that. They should have never had that censorship and everything. But I understand their position. I understand the position of at least the legacy media when it came to certain issues, like most prominently the COVID issue, right? Because I still think there's way too many people that have way too many wrong ideas about the actual vaccine. Very few people have the position that I have, which is what, like, if you don't want to take the vaccine, don't take it. But nobody should be forced to take it, right? But I also am against people who are saying that, you know, you don't need to be a scientist, you don't need to be a doctor, you don't need to be a virologist to understand how these things work. No, the death of expertise is a separate problem, right?
You can. No, you don't have to be a scientist. I'm not creating the vaccine, but I'm going to do everything I can to learn about what I'm putting into my body. And
yeah,
and
no, I always tell people,
give it to me in layman terms, you know? So, yes, we can be. I understand. I think what you're trying to say is people who go out there pretending to be a scientist and
yeah,
they're not.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, because listen, and I'll end this quickly. One of the things that I don't know how many people would agree with me on this panel. I lament the death of expertise, right? Like, there's a reason why in any field there's people who labor. They put in their 10,000 hours. They have experience. They have training. I don't care what the field is, computer programming, politics, writing, television, whatever it is. And what we now think is that if you go on X long enough and use Grok enough, you're an expert in 24 hours or less in some cases. And to me, that's the thing that I lament is the death of expertise, right? So – that's it. So, like, to that point, I'll stay away from you guys and saying that I'm not overly thrilled with what's happening with X. But at the same time, it'd be pretty stupid for me to try to deny the bias that the media has always had.
And in that long answer there, Mr. John, you should be a politician because you never answered the question. Your thoughts on Biden, dementia, and the staff.
Yes,
give us your quick answer.
He was cognitively impaired. We knew that during the election. They did a brilliant political strategy to get him elected. But then once he was in office, it was the expected. What are you going to do? I mean,
Hold on. That's a great segue to Jamie with your experience. He says it was brilliant. It was not brilliant in my eyes. It was media manipulation. It was the final vestiges of the mainstream media still controlling the communications. I've seen it firsthand where I was raised in Panama. He who controls communications controls the country. Every dictator ruled country. You can see that. That's how I see it. John says it was brilliant. What's your take, Mr. Jamie?
You know, it was the campaign they had to run to beat Donald Trump in 2020. And so we knew, just like in 2024, the more people saw of Harris, the less they liked. And the same would have been true of Joe Biden in 2020, but because of COVID, and I agree with John, it was a brilliant campaign strategy. I think the thought that I'll finish for John, I don't know if he'll agree with it or not, but the problem is that now you caught the dog caught the bumper of the speeding car, and now he's president of the United States and incapable of doing the job. And so now we have had this shadow government, and now look at the things this shadow government has done, how the Department of Justice has gone after Donald Trump, and there hasn't been anyone in charge other than potentially Jill Biden, not Joe Biden, which she would not be the first president's wife to run a White House. And
I was
so
just about to say that, JB, you're absolutely right.
It's not outside of our history. It's not groundbreaking for a wife to step in when a husband is incapacitated. It's just not the right thing. It's wrong to do. And everybody who supported Joe Biden and was behind the scenes supporting Joe Biden in 2020 knew that they were supporting someone who was incapable of doing the job. And, you know, I won't go so far to say it's treasonous, but it's pretty damn horrible.
Oh, I will go. See, that's just it. When you throw those terms out, treasonous and things like that, it's, I say, oh, conspiratorial, you're going too far. Are we? Because we elected Joe Biden. And if he's not running the government and somebody else is, it does two things. Shows how inconsequential the president is, or it is treasonous. And people who knew about this condition did not come forward to implement the 25th Amendment to remove him and get, oh gosh, dare I say it, get horizontal Harris in power. Gee, your thoughts before we move on.
Well, no, on top of getting someone who got hit by a car, right, to use that analogy, you also had the person in the passenger seat who was also incompetent to make any real decisions. And apparently she was the last one in the room when the Afghan withdrawal happened. And that was the decline of the Biden regime, right? And then if you look at, she was the last person in Germany talking to Ukraine saying, hey, we would love to support you getting into NATO. A week later, Russia invades Ukraine. So there's two things that she was the last person in the room in, two things that we're still struggling with.
I agree. Gentlemen, before we move on, Big John, any final words on this topic?
No, not really. Like you put me in an awkward position because, as you've stated, I'm a full-fledged TDS
sucker. Well, hold on, Big Judge.
But at the same time, you're putting me in the position of trying to defend Biden and Harris, which I am not wanting to do.
You don't have BDS?
No, Big John. I'm asking you from the perspective of an American. What transpired. See, to me, this transcends ideology. As much Reagan, in my heart, I hope his final year there was not dementia. I haven't gone back and studied it, but I'm wondering, was it? I was too young, didn't care. I was out.
It was.
At that point, we should not have those people in office for the detriment of the country.
Well, I'm not sure, but wasn't the 25th Amendment in part re-put into the consciousness because of people like Reagan, right? Because a lot of people thought at the end of Reagan's term that he probably wasn't in control of the government and that, you know, it was Haig and Bush that were really running things, right? So
it was also just not to jump in, John, but it was also the assassination attempt of Reagan.
Right.
That really kind of brought, you know, when Haig, you know, stormed the White House press room.
I'm in charge.
Some of those things. So not to revisit, you know.
You're right.
But I think that was kind of part of it with Reagan. I agree with you, John, that Ronald Reagan was in diminished capacity his final 2 years. But it's a little different than Joe Biden. Joe Biden decided to run for reelection. His wife or whoever decided to put him up for reelection, knowing that he was incapacitated in 2020. And we even had a judicial ruling saying that, you know, he was kind of too old of a man and was easily confused. He was too confused to even testify. And so this was public knowledge for a long time. And Democrats decided to go down this road of nominating Joe Biden president as their candidate for 2024 anyway, And so, you know, I think the powers that be, Obama, didn't think Harris would coalesce support as fast as she did after Joe Biden's announcement. I think they thought they would get it to convention and get to choose whoever they wanted. And Harris, to I say to her credit, she saw what she wanted and went after it, and she secured the nomination and then failed miserably.
Right. I agree. All right, guys, let us you're absolutely correct. Let us move on from this topic. I'm going to sit here and have the final say on this. I believe that they're actually going to be able to use this against Harris if she runs. They're done with her. They don't want her around. There's a video going around with 6 minutes of her defending Joe Biden. It shows that can be used against her if she runs for president as, can you trust this woman? She was willing to flat out lie. So I think there is a little bit of a strategy being played out by the Democrats already. And to America, Alzheimer's is an epidemic. We have the baby boomers. It's coming. It's here. It's costing us billions. We don't put enough research into it. If anything, pressure your congressman. Ask him or her about how much funding they're getting into this. And finally, on that topic of dementia, you don't get better. You get worse. This is an incurable disease. What angered me about Ronald Reagan was the fact that they portrayed this elegant man. I remember reading an article about him on the playground after he had full blown, and you can still see the twinkle in his eye as he remembers. No, that was just a drooling man in diapers at that point. And it sickened me because they were willing to romanticize and hide the truth from what because I worked in the industry. That's how I know all this. So make sure you understand what our country's getting into, and this is an epidemic that's already here that we need to take on full on with our research. All right, gentlemen, let's get to Doge in memoriam. Oh, I don't know, Doge. Gee, Doge comes from the meme coin, and that's
the
what they're
Doge
calling
coin. Yeah, and Elon promoted that back in 2021, I think.
Yeah, he's still doing it.
Yeah.
exactly. Just real quick, I don't want to get into it, but is Doge relevant? The meme the coin, or is it?
I don't think it's as relevant, but you know, some people still trade it or whatnot. But yeah.
Ironically, it's an inflationary meme coin.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of Bitcoin. So I think that's interesting that Elon Musk is promoting Doge. Being such a hardline fiscal guy, so it's irony.
Well, hold
in its
on.
Purest
What's it
form.
Mean? What's
it's
it mean
intended to lose value as time goes by.
Yeah. It's like the dollar. It's like the dollar.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right. X marks the spot. How Elon Musk and social media are reshaping news and congressional influence. So, to let the audience know, the third attempt. There's a slogan that goes with that. I can't remember. I'm terrible with analogies. But the third attempt, it finally got through the continuing resolution. The problem here for Congress is the first resolution would have passed with nobody saying a word had it not been for Elon Musk informing the public. I myself knew about it, but I'd given up. Everything we do, nobody cares. And these things continually pass. Thank you there, Mr. Producer. Third time's a charm, people. Third time's a charm in the CR past. So back to my point, though, it's I've given up, as most of us who are in the weeds and understand politics. And the reason we loathe these omnibus bills as conservatives, and I'm sure Big John is a libertarian who wants smaller government, is these omnibus bills is what really blows up our national debt, because every pork barrel created project is thrown in there. Projects that Republicans are against, that Democrats want, gets in there. Projects that Democrats don't want, that Republicans want, they get there. And they all vote for this. This is where the libertarians are correct, and it is a duopoly. It's just I'm flabbergasted just thinking about it. We're going to talk about some of the stuff in there, some of the pork that's in there, as well as some of the freedoms that were being taken away from us that were being put in there. But before we get to that, real quick, Jamie, what are your thoughts on I saw this as the first salvo of Doge, the Doge effect, but more importantly, the first salvo in X being the platform of being a newsmaker and people going for the news. And that's what we learned about the CR bill, and kind of the first iteration was stopped dead in its water. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, all of that is true. I think the cautionary tale, if you want to play unconventional wisdom, is that before we came on the air tonight, you know, people were on X were being critical of Elon Musk because he kind of made the rookie mistake of saying, you know, putting that picture on X, this was yesterday's bill and here's today's bill. And today's bill, the second bill that did not pass, had just as much spending in it. And so there were a lot of people who were critical, I think rightfully so, that, you know, they tried to, you know, kind of sneak one past the goalie, so to speak. And if it wasn't, you know, I know there are three congressmen here in Florida who voted against that second bill, and mostly new members, newer members, people who haven't been around real long. And the funny thing is, I think all three have agreed to join the Doge caucus, right? And so Elon Musk was kind of pushing this second bill, and yet it seemed like there were some Doge caucus members who voted down on the second bill, and then, you know, we ended up with the third bill that we're going to discuss a little bit more tonight.
You know, that's a great point. And Big John and I had a conversation. I think he was like, I'm going to get with you. I'm going to get him, man. I'm going to get him on this. And he was talking about, you know, exactly what you said, how small it was. It was a perception battle that Elon made that rookie mistake on, not realizing perception doesn't always work with the reality of what you just presented. And I'm like, yeah, I was doing my research, and I got to be honest, John, I think I would have voted with those 38 congressmen, because I kept arguing with AI. I use AI a lot. I'm becoming on a level 1 to 10. I'm still a 3, but better than 90% of America in understanding AI. And I'm arguing with it because my assumption was most of the poor had been taken out, and we were looking at maybe 500, 600 billion. So I kept arguing with AI. It says, no, no, no. And then after I did research, I'm like, oh, my God, this pretty much is a couple hundred billion dollars taken out. That's a good point that Jamie brought up, is the perception versus the reality. Do you think Elon was fooled by this or realized what was happening and just wanted the win to create momentum? What are your overall thoughts on that?
I mean, think about him. He's running several companies, right? And then he's doing this thing as a volunteer. And so, of course, he's going to look at that, you know, the big stack and look at the small stack and say, oh, that's better. I mean, I thought that. I just don't have the time to actually read anything like that. But, you know, so I don't fault him for that. But if he's in charge of a commission, he's got to be better than that, right? I mean, I'll tell you, if you're overspending your income, and then you say, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to stop and I'm going to get back into black, but after my trip to Vegas where I blow my wad on hookers, you know, like, yeah. No, you don't do that. You just don't go to Vegas and say, okay, I'm going to tighten my belt right now. And I think, you know, Elon getting involved before Trump's inaugurated, I think that's great. But yeah, he's got to be slower on the draw and make sure that he's aiming at the right person. So
now, Big John, one aspect of the
first of all, before you go on, William, I want to say the subtle genius of Wad's comment of Jamie's G's comment there when he said then you go to Vegas and blow your wad. I think that was a double entendre on G. He stuck it in on us. It has two meanings, and I applaud him for that Doge-like efficiency with that joke/comment.
Okay, so Big John, that's Big John is our comic. One of his orgasmic fantasies is to be a comic, you know. So he knows all about the New York comic scene, and it's typical of him to pick up on that good one. But that said, so Big John,
yeah.
One of your issues that we debated on a bit that did not make it in the third iteration was the debt ceiling. Right. And real quick, Jamie, if you can take a few seconds to explain to us and the audience the debt ceiling. And then, John, you were concerned about, because Trump, you got to knock him where you can knock him. He had the fastest explosion of debt relief during his tenure. And Big John was concerned, hey, what's he going to do? There's no debt ceiling. And I countered, Big John, there hasn't been a debt ceiling since 2023. It goes back into effect, and Trump doesn't want it back in there. Jamie, if you can explain to us in the audience.
I think the last time we actually passed a budget through the House and Senate and was signed by a president might have been 1998 or 9.
I was going to say probably Clinton.
Told you, John. Told you.
I think it might have been George W. Bush may have had 1 year in there in 03 or 04 where they passed a budget. But, you know, at most it's been one or two in the last 25 years. And so, you know, the continuing resolution is the way Congress spends money. It's the way they slip in their pet projects. And the debt ceiling is the way that they don't have to be beholden to the public when they do so.
There you go. So, John, that was your concern. So it didn't make it in there. But overall, as a libertarian, what were your thoughts? Like I told you, mine is like I may have voted with those 38 congressmen. I mean, we're talking – Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong. And this is a three-month extension. It wasn't like $1.5 trillion. So it didn't make much sense to me. But so what are your thoughts on – I mean, that is the money that kind of just keeps growing the debt. As a libertarian, what would you tell us conservatives to be on the lookout for in the future to guard against Trump being taken advantage of?
Well, Trump being taken advantage of is the problem. It's the other way around. Well, look, when I said I was concerned about the debt ceiling being moved, it's not from a practical application. It's contextually with Trump. Forget my TDS. Trump has never been afraid of debt, and he embraces it wholeheartedly. As a businessman, he had no problem running up debt and then walking away from it. When he got into office, he said, I don't understand why sovereign debt is a problem. I could just write a check or just get rid of it and not have to worry about paying anybody back. So, like, I think the concept of debt means nothing to Donald Trump. That was my concern with him because I felt that it was just an excuse for him to spend more. We also have 4 years of history with him where you're absolutely right. No other president accumulated more debt in a four-year administration than Donald Trump did. Even Biden didn't get as much, I think. And Biden was bad, but Trump was just as worse, right? So that's my thing. Now, overall, you're absolutely right. There should be no continuing resolutions at all. If you can't come to a budget agreement, nothing gets funded, period. And that is difficult. That is hard decisions for everybody. Even if you're not an anarchist, even if you're not somebody who wants to see the government completely collapse, right? Even if you're a traditional conservative, right? The point is that you're supposed to make tough decisions. You're supposed to decide whether to add another trillion to the military or use it for your social programs. You're supposed to choose between, for the sake of argument, food stamps and guns. You're supposed to choose between border security and picking, you know, and subsidizing farmers, soybean farmers, right?
So, like, in other words, Big John, you're saying they need to do their damn jobs. Hate the omnibus bills, these omnibus bills for that reason. It provides cover for them not to do their jobs. Well, I had to vote for that. It was part of the big omnibus bill. I believe Congress does not want to do away with the CR-type bills. So let's look at some of the items that were in there. The disaster relief funding. I think we can all agree that would be a good item. You know, give the hurricane victims some money before we give it all to Ukraine. You know, so the farmers. However, this is my issue with the omnibus bill. Were you guys aware that there's $8 billion in there for the rebuilding of the Baltimore area bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge? That's the one that made all the headlines last year, I think, and the boat slowly ramming into it, and it's sinking. $8 billion. That is privately owned. It's insured. It has tolls for the upkeep. There's enough money for the private ownership to rebuild it. We as taxpayers were going to foot every bit of it. So with that example, G, that's one of hundreds. What would you sit there and tell your constituents? Because we could ask Cynthia questions. How do you respond? I guess I'm flabbergasted. I guess I really don't know what I'm asking outside. What are your thoughts on wasteful $8 billion? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I mean, remember the I believe it was 2006 or 4 when they were earmarked that amount of money for a bridge in Alaska that only like 30 people drove over, and it was like millions of dollars. I mean, come on. Is that really going to enhance the economy? Now, this Baltimore bridge, I believe there is some detriment to the economy, right? So there is a public need for it, even though it's privately owned. But 100%, I mean, come on. the owner must have been insured to some degree. So unless he was totally reckless and said, no, I don't need insurance, but it looks like he did have insurance, why are we footing 100%? So every congressman goes in there saying, look, I need to bring something back so I can get reelected in 2 years. I mean, what Trump needs to do is get these guys together and go, look, we are about to head into hyperinflation because we have to print trillions of dollars just to pay the interest. I mean, we're not talking about projects. We're talking about the interest on what we borrowed already. And he's got to get them together and say, look, if you guys don't stop this and we go into a period of austerity, we're going to have major trouble. And Trump will not be president when we head into major trouble. I mean, this is not four years down the road. This is 6 to 8 years down the road.
In John's defense, that's why Trump doesn't care about a debt ceiling either. Nobody does. Jamie, so there's also woke earmarks in there that the Freedom Caucus, that we can all agree on, is a group that should have more members, in terms of woke spending, money towards social justice or equity-focused projects. We're talking maybe not billions, but tens and tens of millions, maybe approaching hundreds of millions. As an age-old sire in the Republican Party and this new woke, this new DEI that is not based off of qualifications, but based off of culture, skin color, and gender, what are your thoughts when you see something like that in the omnibus?
Well, that's a lot to unpack. I always say that the general problem with DEI programs is that it's, created to protect, 30% of the minorities in America, and yet it applies to 100% of the programs and jobs. And so it becomes an issue where I think people put up with those things for a little while, and then it's kind of like, hey, I'm 40. Why is a 28-year-old getting a promotion over me when I have 20 years of experience and they're just 28 years old? And, so I think that things like that went too far. It sounds like it's going too far in this continuing resolution that passed. I'm not familiar with each and every one of them that you mentioned, but there's no question that this is part of what Americans rejected when they voted and reelected Donald Trump president.
Exactly. I agree. Okay, so this is for the whole group, but we're going to go with Big John. I thought of Big John. COVID-19 related provisions and the J6 provisions. These are geared to take our freedoms away. They're embedding provisions into the legislation in order to normalize certain actions that are seen as extreme when they happen. And oversight reduction. They're going to use this bill as a model for future pandemics to take some of our rights. So, for example, one of the aspects that was in the original bill was we couldn't complain about a pandemic in certain ways or we could be thrown in jail. I guess out here in California, when they were throwing people like the guy in the paddleboard, now you can't do that, threw him in jail. He's alone out in the ocean by himself, but he did not have a mask on, so they go after him. So ignorant things like that, erosion of our civil liberties. They wanted to add an agency that adds They wanted to add an agency that adds Americans and news outlets to a blacklist for things like speculating the COVID-19 virus was a Chinese engineered bioweapon. That's being used as a framework, meaning we couldn't criticize like where it came from or its origins, election interference clauses, limited data scrutiny, restricted access to election information. Whether you agree with voter fraud or not, our ability to question and to speak freely on whatever issue should not be taken away. And these were items that were in there. Big John, here's a big lie. Conservatives care about our freedoms as much as libertarians. But for libertarians, that's their lifeblood. That's their cause. What's your thoughts on these omnibus bills used to take our freedoms away?
Oh, well, yeah, obviously not. I understand where some of these come from, even though I don't agree with them, right? Like, you say, like, why do committees want immunity? Because it's all political. Because the very processes that are used to actually root out corruption and root out wrongdoings within our own Congress are all political. We see that during impeachments. We see that during Senate trials. We see it during all this stuff, right? It becomes political. It's not – people think it's a court of law. It's not. So – When you have a president or a president-elect that says, hey, I'm out for blood, I'm going to get retribution, and look, perhaps justifiably because of the way he feels he's been treated. Like, what are these people going to do? They're all political creatures. What do you expect them to do in the waning moments of their power? They're going to try to enshrine some protection.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you as a person, when you see these, and what Big John is referring to, people, is the J6 committee, and this would pertain to any committee, to be protected from being from going after legally. And in defense of Trump, he's talked about bringing the country together and only going after those who've broken the law. So he has made a distinction. It's the mainstream media that has distorted that distinction, as they did with him with abortion, with the border, with a lot of things. But, John, we know that. These are political beasts. They're going to sit there and look out for their own. That's part of the problem of being a career politician. But you, as a libertarian, as an American, when you see this, and this is an omnibus bill, these have been going on. As Jamie said, we haven't had a budget because of these omnibus continuing resolution bills. What's your take on it as an American, as a person? What would you tell your neighbor as somebody who's informed?
Tell them about the omnibus bills in specifically?
In general, I guess I'm asking you here is, what are your thoughts about these freedoms? Are you okay in times of crisis, the government going, hey, we have to take – okay.
No. But I try to apply it to it equally, right? So, like, I apply it in cases where liberals go overboard and they want to censor people. I apply it in the cases where conservatives go overboard and they want to stifle freedoms for the sake of anti-terrorism or safety or any of that stuff. Because that's generally how I feel. Whenever someone says I want to limit a right or I want to grant a right, not that rights can be granted in my opinion, my first thought is, okay, what happens if the person you hate most on this planet had access to that same right? How would you feel about that? If you can honestly say, if you're a Trump supporter, you could say, I would love for Biden to have this ability. Then you're being honest and you'd say, great, let's do it. If you're a Biden supporter and you say, I think the government should be able to do blank. And then I say to you, what about if Trump gets back into power? Are you okay with it? And then they say, oh, well, not Trump, right?
Okay,
then you're not okay
I get
with
that.
It.
So that's what I'm trying to get at you, the equality of it all. As I said early on, this is where the term duopoly comes in.
Yeah.
It's both sides to do it. You know, Big John and I had a conversation once, and I said, I'm okay with losing as long as we lose fair and square. You know, you can accept the rules that are in place, but not rules that abuse. Gee, your thoughts on our freedoms taken away, and should these committees be given – these protections as they're putting in this bill to get?
Yeah, absolutely not. And you look at the J6 committee. I mean, now that's coming out, even Stephen Smith of ESPN said FBI was in the crowd, and there's some videos out there showing Antifa people, known Antifa people were also in the crowd. So now they're trying to cover their butts because this stuff was coming out, right? So we're going to learn the truth. I mean, maybe that the Trump supporting crowd had some responsibility, but I don't think 100% was theirs, right? So they're trying to cover that and provide immunity. And then as far as the COVID thing, I mean, is COVID still a thing? Well, they're trying to make it a thing with this new bird flu and Gavin Newsom declaring state of emergency in California because I think one or two people had bird flu. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So absolutely, let us speak what we want to speak. And, you know, the death of Big John was saying earlier, the death of specialty?
Expertise.
There you go. Yeah. I mourn that too, but people are allowed to have their opinions even if they're not an expert, right? So I agree with that too. But let the experts say, well, that's not true because X, Y, and Z, not because, well, the president gave me power just to shut you up, right? That's not the proper way to express your expertise.
Exactly. Jamie, again, as an old soldier in the trenches and who's actually met and worked with some of the top dogs there in D.C., how far have our freedoms come in terms of being lost that we see politicians actually putting this type of stuff in there?
Yeah, there's no question. I think there's no question also that the American people, I think that she and John both touched on it, that the American people rejected the weaponization of our federal government against political opponents. But I also don't think that the American people said, hey, we're against Democrats weaponizing government, but we want Donald Trump to weaponize government. And so I think I agree with John where it's like, you know, listen, if One, weaponizing government isn't good for anybody. You know, we are the government. There should not be, you know, we now know that over the past 4 years that there's basically independent operators have been operating our government, and we haven't been, nobody's been answering to a president of the United States because he's been in diminished capacity. So, you know, so that it's, hopefully it is a moment in history that we've been here before, we've gotten past it before, and hopefully we get it past it quickly this time as well.
Exactly. And what I'm referring to is the reduction of oversight. You know, that in essence, they're trying to take the American people's ability to hold these individuals accountable. Now, before we move on, I just had to get this one out there. Meme legislation in the omnibus. There was in the bill, there were claims that it was in the bill that it would make it a crime to post certain types of memes if they were deemed offensive or inappropriate by Congress, touching on issues of free speech and censorship. Now, there's that old saying, people, as California goes, the nation goes. And California was the first to enact those laws, and it was immediately sued the next day. But give me just a few seconds. And to me, my take on this, it shows how disrespectful the Congress, our government has become, how they just don't give, excuse my French, they don't give a rat's ass about the American people, that they want to sit there and put meme legislation. Gee, your quick thoughts.
I mean, we already have that here in California, right? Governor Newsom said, okay, well, if you create a meme that, you know, or something with AI that interferes with the election, we can prosecute you. I mean, that is an encroachment on free speech, just pure and simple. I mean, I made some memes with Kamala Harris and the downfall clip of Hitler getting mad at his group, right, his generals. I mean, I guess that would be considered against the law if some of this stuff passed. So that's absolutely true. Not. It's an infringement of free speech. First Amendment.
John, real quick, your thoughts, because I forgot. I want to talk a little bit about Musk and his PAC and his potential with Doge. So your thoughts on the quick on the meme issue.
Oh, it's ludicrous. We're turning into England and Canada, where you could get jail time for being mean to somebody on social media. It's ridiculous. It has no place in the United States. I am 100% free speech, baby. Like, I don't care what you have to say, when you have to say it, and where you have to say it.
Right.
Especially in government. Government should have no place in it. Now, the debate is whether you could say it on something that's privately owned that serves a public interest. I again think that you should, like, as a matter of principle, you shouldn't do it, but that's a different issue. But when the government steps in and says you're not allowed to make a meme, get the F out of here. Forget that.
So, Jamie, Big John said it up very nicely. Canada and England, there is no constitution. They can sit there and act these laws, but we have a constitution. And I guess what I was getting at, and John kind of pointed me in the right direction, is to me this is a blatant attempt to circumvent the constitution and our freedom of speech. Your thoughts when you see something like that?
This is miserable, and it certainly is violating the constitution. And quite frankly, it's a slippery slope that's been coming for some time since we started prosecuting people for hate speech, right? It's, oh, you're going to get a first-degree murder charge if you say X while you're committing a murder. Well, if you're committing murder, you should be in jail forever. It doesn't matter what you say. And I don't think – I felt like whenever we started these hate speech laws, I think this meme law is a part of the slippery slope we've had since we've started saying, oh, you know, because the hate speech has been like, oh, if you're committing a crime. Well, now they've made hate speech the crime, right? And yeah. So that violates our constitutional right. Because guess what? We're allowed to say hateful things. We as Americans, we are allowed to say that. I don't appreciate it when people say them about me, and I don't appreciate it when people say them, period. However, you know, that's part of our rights. And, you know, you look at the old political cartoons of the 1870s and 1880s, yeah. And, you know, were we going to throw – I mean, it was ludicrous to even think that you would throw a cartoonist, which is basically a meme creator in the same, you know, social media setting we have today, that we would throw a cartoonist in jail over a political cartoon. I mean, that is the highest form of protected speech we have. And the fact that anybody's even thinking about punishing an American for speaking about anything just goes to show you the disregard, like G said, the disregard they have for the American citizen.
And you know, in the old days, I would have laughed at it, and the ACLU would have been the first organization to jump in there and defend any. I mean, they defended Nazis marching in Skokie in 1976, right? So that was the old ACLU. The new ACLU, I don't know if they would jump in on something like that, especially if it was an offensive.
No, they won't, John. I can say that firsthand. I've read a few times in some articles over the past few years. All right, Jamie. That was what I call a clip-worthy response. Yeah, so that was awesome. Now, that said, going back to an example, when I was a child and they came out with the first hate crimes against gays because they were being jumped, I asked my father, what happens if a bunch of gays jump a regular guy, Dad? Or I called him Papa, and he looked at me. He just shook his head. I'm like, oh, no, you know, we're going to find out. But that's what you're talking about. And as far as the ACLU – that was always my standard for we have true free speech because we will have people defend the worst of the worst because it's constitutionally protected. When the ACLU finally voted and they will not defend anything conservative or else they would have been defending the baker in Colorado, not once, not twice, but the three times they've sued that same baker, they were nowhere to be found. So we are losing our speech, our freedom of speech, people, and the proof is Congress trying to put in a damn meme law. All right, guys, before we get into our quick hits, I want to talk a little bit about Doge, Elon Musk, and specifically what Big John said. He brought up a legitimate point. It's legit, but I thought it was wrong in him saying, well, they're not part of the cabinet. What power do they really have? And this is the power. Elon Musk brought to the public light what was happening with the CR bill, and he stopped it dead in its water. Now, Big John made a point, well, this is just too much power for one guy. In essence, you know, how it can go south. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You have to be concerned with it, but I also believe in fighting fire with fire, and the difference here is all Elon did was present the bill. What was in the bill? He didn't change the narrative. He didn't create a media lie and distort anything, but Big John is correct. There's always that danger. But that said, I'll worry about that tomorrow and do my best to keep him in check when it happens, as I have failingly done with everybody else. But that's right now, Elon has Doge through that salvo. What are your thoughts, Jamie, on how he used X, the power of X? And in there on the second part of that question is how the media is trying to turn him and Trump against one another. Oh, look at Elon. He's Trump's puppet, you know, because Trump has a big ego.
One question that, you know, to ask is simply, you know, when do people on X start eating their own? And it happens every day, right? Where, you know, we all follow people on Twitter who it's like, oh, I'm 100% pick a politician. And then the next day, the politician says one little thing. They're like, oh, that politician needs to be primaried right now. They'll never get reelected again. And so,
Jamie, you know, your girl Nancy Mace is going through that down in Florida right now as we speak.
Yeah. So it's just so that's one example. But there's every single politician is an example. And so it's at what point, you know, are these, you know, these political threats credible? And, you know, and when is it just somebody thumping their chest? And when do politicians start saying, okay, you know what? We're great. We appreciate it, but I'm not listening to you anymore. So I think that people need to realize, number one, the power of X, the power that it had in this election, the power that Elon Musk has with his voice. However, we also need to be realistic about at some point, you know, does that just become an echo chamber for, you know, just being, you know, people saying things to try to get likes and retweets and all those sorts of things versus actually having an effective communication?
You know, that's a good point, Big John. Jamie's talking about, hey, Elon's making this an effective communication tool for him and others who want to use it versus those of us, please like my posts. Hey, Mom, thanks for liking it. You know, what are your thoughts in terms of Elon's ability to maximize this? And what are your concerns in your own words in terms of what we talked about in one person having this much power?
Well, look, this is like you like to say, William, this has so many layers to it. It would take a whole show just to describe this. But Here's my concern.
You got 1 minute.
I got 1 minute. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I appreciate that. So here you go. You got Elon. First of all, Elon's not a politician. And politics is the only game where I've said this over and over. There seems to be some joy in the consumer, meaning the voters, finding people with zero experience at the job they're being asked to do, right? So it's the most contradictory thing on the planet I've ever run into. So here you have Elon Musk, who prior to him getting into politics, I was a huge admirer of, and to a large extent, I still am. But he's not a politician. He's not made for public life in the sense of public service. That's the reason why he's not in government. If anyone thinks that if he said, hey, Donnie T, give me a job in your administration, you don't think Trump would have given him an ambassadorship somewhere or something like that? Of course he would have. He owes him. But why doesn't he go into government? Because he can't operate within government. So to have him in this extra government doge made up thing promoting his meme coin every day, that's a big negative, right? Like, I appreciate what he's done with X, but how do I know that the X platform isn't doing what he accused Jack Dempsey of, Dorsey of doing? Like, why? How do I know that it's not promoting right-wing stuff?
Hold on, John. Hold on. A couple of points. Our founding fathers they didn't look at people that have careers. They thought people would serve a term or two, then they would go back to their farms.
It was also a shorter life expectancy, William. People died at 40, so, you know, it's
actually, that's skewed because what happened is the birth rate.
You're right, to some extent. Yeah.
Our founding fathers lived to be in their 70s, believe it or not.
Some of them did.
So, and you made me forget my second part of the question in there. I apologize. Finish your point, John. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, look, as of right now, here, what you said is absolutely right. What Jamie said is right, too. I'm already seeing it. Look what's happening to Chip Roy, even more so than Nancy Mace. Chip Roy was one of the guys who got up and said, this is not a conservative spending bill that you guys want to vote for, fellow Republicans. You know, literally within, 10 minutes of that clip going on, I saw some of the bigger right-wing influencers, Eagleman and Cat Turd and all these Benny Johnson, all these guys, primary that guy. We've got our eyes on you, Chip Roy, you rhino, you horrible person. And all these other Republicans were like, wait a second, I thought we liked this guy. Like, to your point, Jamie, when are they going to start turning each other? It started already. There's some people who are actually drawing a distinction between MAGA and conservatism. And some of them are saying we're not aligned 100%. How does Elon step in that? That's what I'm interested in saying. And he's, like I said, I think it's weird because he's not a government guy and he's trying to influence government. And I would say the same thing. How would you feel if the Washington Post were running this type of scam on you outside the government talking to Biden, right? So that's what I'm concerned about.
There's a couple of things there to unpack. Human nature. I'm like, it's emotional. We're going to primary when stuff like that. It's more words being spoken. But you're right. There's a concern. As a conservative, I said, hey, I probably would have been with the 38. The other thing is people wanting likes, people building a brand, not being qualified. But then again, no American technically is, but yet we can all have our service to the country. So I'm okay with that. But having somebody of experience is a double-edged sword. They become a career politician. They become corrupt. Gee, was he talking about you in terms of we can elect anybody at the office?
I was told by TJ Zane here in San Diego, if you can balance a checkbook, you're qualified to run for office. So that is the only qualification, and I would say most Democrats have already failed, and they still get elected because they can't balance the checkbook. But hold on.
The Republicans question to you.
Voted for the thing. They can't balance one. Go ahead.
My question to you is Elon Musk has a PAC that has a few hundred million. It's already made an impact. Do you think – based off of using these 38, I don't think many of them should be primary, maybe a couple of them, just because of their past track record. But how do you see Elon combining his strategy on X to go with his pack to begin primarying them to possibly get in a couple years a Trump first – or not Trump first, what is it? America first Republican Congress in there?
Well, look, everyone has a shelf life, right? Clinton was really popular. Now no one wants to hear from him. Same with Obama. I think Elon's riding a wave of popularity. Will it last 2 years? I think it will. I think, can he primary people? I think he can. But, you know, people will get tired of this after a while. So, you know, I think he'll have some results in the beginning. And I think the Democrats are scared. That's why they're saying, who's really going to be president? Is it Elon or Trump? Like you said, it's attacking Trump's ego. But what they're trying to do is get people sick and tired of Elon so that in 2 years, you know, Elon's shelf life has run out. So that's the goal. You keep pounding someone, then you'll ruin or tarnish the reputation. And it's worked in the past. Will it work this time? Who knows? We'll see.
We will find out. And with that, let us move on from the omnibus bill there. This is our final round, a couple of minutes. I call it quick hits or a lightning round. I'm going to ask y'all a question, just a few words or a few seconds to answer it. First thing that comes to mind. All right, question number one. We'll start with you, Jamie. Did the Associated Press purposely hide the fact from its headline stating a car has driven into a group of people at a Christmas market in Germany to hide the fact the individual was Muslim?
So I've read the headline. I'm not familiar that the driver was Muslim. Is that what you're asking?
Well, did they hide the fact that he's Muslim by saying it was a car that went into the group? Because that's the big hoopla right now on social media. They're hiding that fact.
Oh, so yeah. So I did see somebody on Twitter say, or X say that, showing my age there, that they've put a community note that a car doesn't drive, a person does, right? And so that was kind of the thing. You know, we face this in a couple of things where, we face this not in this last school shooting, but in a couple school shootings where, you know, a trans student would be the school shooter, and they don't really report that until days later. And so, you know, it goes back to kind of just the credibility of what I call the corporate media. I know a lot of people call it mainstream media, but I think there is a difference between corporate media and what we're seeing. And it's funny because you mentioned, you know, off stage, you know, that the top 50 podcasters have 80% of the market, and very soon they will become the corporate media. And, you know, those will be the folks who are beholden to advertisers. And so more and more people are going to come to shows like yours, William, where and fired up because, you know, you have tonight on a Friday night, you have four guys sitting there talking about our truth, right? And what our experience leads us to believe. And that's why this show is going to become so popular.
Well, thank you for that. You know, Megyn Kelly went through this lightning round. We're going to have to go faster, guys. Thank you, Jamie. So real quick, Jamie, did the AP purposely hide the fact? Yes or no?
Yes.
Gee, did they hide the fact that he was Muslim? The
you answered it when you said, because I thought this guy must be from the Middle East, and you said it was from the Middle East. Yes.
Big John.
No.
No, okay. Jamie, will Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau resign with his government on the potential brink of collapse?
Yes, he will.
Gee.
I think so, yes.
Big John, and the reason why?
I have absolutely no idea because I don't follow Canadian politics.
As soon as I said that, I'm like, damn, he told me that off camera, and I put him on the spot.
And you're the closest to Canada of all of us.
Yes, that's true.
There you go. Okay, guys.
I would argue that I'm pretty close to Canada come about this January and February because half of them are here in Sarasota.
There you go. Okay. Will President Joe Biden or those actually running the country do a blanket pardon to protect progressives and the J6 committee members from having any type of investigations or charges brought up against them? Big John.
No.
G.
He's done almost 7,000 pardons. I'm going to say yes.
Jamie.
I'll say yes as well.
I will say yes as well. Next question. Can Elon Musk successfully primary establishment Republicans to change the Republican Party makeup to be more Trump first conservatives? Big John, I know that's your favorite topic.
No. Because I would say no, because in 2 years it's always a challenge for the majority party to retain its seats. So I will say no.
I will say no as well because he'll be like a Taylor Swift. People will want to stop listening to him.
And that's a great answer. If you want to say yes and then give your a few seconds, that's great. I'm trying to formulate and create this for future shows, guys, so we're guinea pigs tonight. Jamie. Yeah.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to agree with John that many of those who win the primaries that Elon Musk supports loses the general election.
Ooh, good one, good one. I'm going to say yes, because you only need a couple million. The primary, even the most the longest running congressman there, it's not like a Senate campaign. All right, here's one for Big John and the rest of us, obviously. Does Robert F. Kennedy get approved for Health and Human Services?
I hope not. As a I hope not.
But does he? So no, you're saying no.
Well, I think he's borderline, right? Because I think there's six that have said they're definitely not supporting him. And I think there's three on the fence. So I'll say no, because there's going to be way too many Democrats and Republicans that he's pissed off.
Just real quick, G, John, one take back. I apologize for making this a little longer, but it will be a Republican Senate when he gets there. So it'll be a different makeup.
No, I still think I'm hoping he doesn't, and I think he won't. Okay. Yeah.
G.
I think he will. There will be some deals made behind the scenes.
Jamie.
I say yes, because some Democrats come along.
I say yes, because I agree with both Jamie and G. Deals with backroom deals will be made with Democrats. Exactly, sad, but true. Does Pete Hegseth get approved for Secretary of Defense? G.
I think so. I think the Republicans will like a new, younger face in there.
Jamie.
His nomination seems to be on solid ground, but 30 days is forever.
I agree. I do believe he will get approved. There are bigger fish are going to fry, and most of these people do get approved, and they'll twist some arms and again make back deals. Big John.
How many female senators are there in the new Senate?
Actually, there's two he's got to worry about, Murkowski and the one from New Hampshire. I forget her name.
Yeah, I think he's got to worry about all the female senators. I think he'll pass through, but nobody's going to be happy about it.
Hey, maybe he'll wine and dine some of those female senators. Okay, so with the breakout of the Wall Street Journal story.
Just leave him in the restaurant. Just leave him.
With the breakout of the Wall Street Journal story, White House function with a diminished Biden in charge was the title for those of you who want to go read it. Will we see the 25th Amendment in vote? Jamie.
Absolutely not.
G.
No, it's not that easy. Congress can override it even if Kamala tries. So, and Congress will override it.
Big John.
Not a chance in hell.
I say no, only because it's Kamala's VP. If they had somebody they actually like, never say never. All right, but it's a no. Will Kamala Harris run for governor for California in 2026 or for president in 2028? Jamie.
I'll say yes and no.
Okay. Big John.
I think she'll run. I don't think she'll get anywhere near winning, but I think she'll try, yeah.
For which one, president? Governor or president?
Both.
Oh.
Well, see, that's that's to the audience. That's a dilemma. If she runs for governor, she's kind of locked herself in. She can't really run and have a presidential run 2 years because people won't trust her, her word. I mean, it's been used against presidents. G, what do you think?
I think at the polls, since she's looking at the same polls, most Democrats want her back. But 2 years is a long time, so there's going to be someone who rises up. But she would have to start running for governor now, and she's not going to be able to do that. So president in 2028.
I agree. I think she's running for president. After this omnibus continuing resolution debacle, does Mike Johnson win the House leadership race this spring? Congressmen like Thomas Massie have already said they're not voting for him. Big John.
Wow, this is something you Republicans need to sort out. No, I don't think he wins. He's already Trump, last I heard, did not support him. He already said he's not doing some things the right way, so I'm assuming no, he will not.
Gene.
He was at the UFC fight, but I'm still going to say no. He's not going to get back in.
Jamie.
Like Hegseth, I think he puts it back on solid ground, but 30 days is forever. Well, that's actually January 6th. So, you know, like I think, or January 3rd, I think, is that vote, actually. So I'm going to say that he does hold on, because I don't see anybody gaining ground in the next 10 days.
I'm with Jamie. That's exactly how I see it. I'm not a fan of him. I think he's betrayed us based on what he said. But who else is there? In turn, Napoli shows Kamala was always behind. Did the posters purposely lie overall? And specifically, did the gold standard Iowa poster lie after stating Kamala ahead by 3 points a few days before the election, only to lose Iowa by 13? So let me repeat that. It's a long one. Internal polling shows Kamala was always behind. Did the posters purposely lie overall? And specifically, did the gold standard Iowa poster lie after stating Kamala ahead by 3 points, only to lose by 13 points? I bring her up because Trump's suing her. Gee.
Like the great Rush Limbaugh said, polls, public polling is not meant to reflect public opinion, but to shape it. So, yes, they purposely changed their, spreadsheet. But, yeah, and then did the Iowa pollster lie? Yes, I think she was trying to drive the narrative as well.
Big John.
No. Because to lie would mean that she had malicious intent. I doubt that because it doesn't benefit her to do that in the long run. But as I've always said, the thing you have to worry about polls is not the math. The math is right all the time. Student's t-test is what it is to discover probability of samples. But how you ask questions, how you phrase them, where you ask them, and who you ask can always be finagled.
Right, correct.
So a lie, no. It was not a lie in any legal sense. So
The methodology is what Big John referred to. Jamie, your thoughts real quick.
So I think a lot of modeling and herd mentality amongst pollsters led to this. I disagree with John. In that particular poll, she did lie. She did try to manipulate her polling by promoting numbers she knew was wrong, and she should never practice polling ever again. And so it was an egregious, not error, it was an egregious attempt. And I would just say, John, I know you're not naive enough to think that she wasn't doing that because there was some backroom deal, or that she was offered something to promote that poll in such a horrible way. I mean, 16 points is a big miss. That's a big miss.
Yeah, but we've seen it happen before in, and I'll use air quotes, good faith. That's why I say I don't know if it's a lie in the legal sense, Jamie. That's what I meant to say. Like,
John, I don't know that I can prove it, but it was a lie.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
I am with both of you. I think Trump will lose this lawsuit against her for some of the reasons he gave, but I'm with Jamie. This was malicious intent. She tried to manipulate. She tried to create an aura that, hey, Kamala's doing well. Let's get out and vote for her. Why? Because there's no accountability to her. There's no punishment. There's no penalty. There's no.
I mean, it dominated the news cycle for 72 hours.
Exactly.
With, you know, this Iowa pollster. Oh, everybody else must be wrong because her poll had, and if Harris is winning Iowa, she wins. You know, so
it was the life. It was like you're drowning and they throw you a life preserver. That's what
changed
her poll
the narrative.
Was.
But, in good free market solutions. Look what happened to 538 when they missed the 2016 election, right? Whether he did – and I don't think Nate Silver did it on purpose. But because he missed it so poorly, like, his business suffered. Same thing with this one. There's no benefit to making up numbers that she knows are wrong. But I'm not as savvy as you, James.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I do follow polls, and most polls do actually tighten up and become realistic. And 538 did it. But the problem with 538, because I did follow them closely over the years, because I was very proud that a fantasy geek got it all right in the very early days of 538 before ESPN bought them out. I have followed that company, but they became lost in their own bubble. They started believing their own bullshit is kind of what happened. And for those of you that don't know, 538 has been sold. Nate has gone elsewhere. He kept his formula. That is, nobody knows what it is. And with that, my friends, thank you for tuning in. We went a little bit longer, but there's some heavy topics in terms of all the garbage in the CR, the CR bill, the new media we're seeing. And I wanted to have a little bit of fun since it's the holidays. Jamie, before we say goodbye here, how can individuals reach you?
Well, you can find me at Reasonable Arguments at Substack and YouTube, and you can find me at RepJam, R-E-P-J-A-M, everywhere else.
And Big John, give a plug to your free-for-all and big questions.
Thank you, William. If anyone's ever tired of listening to the duopoly, these three folks speak, join my nonsense every Thursday night for a libertarian talk show, much in the same format as this. But thanks, and thank you guys for putting up with me. It was a pleasure joining you tonight.
And, G, if for those of us who are old, can't see your handle there, tell people where they can find you on X.
Yep, right here. Let me get that SDGOP. And I'm not a content creator. I mostly retweet. So I retweet very interesting stuff.
There you go. And to everybody else, a happy holidays. Do not forget, you can find this content as well as our libertarian and our sports and my own pop culture podcast at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our social media platform at Apple, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, and Rumble under the handle Grumblings Media. I am William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. I bid y'all a happy, merry Christmas and a happy holidays to those non-Christians. God bless every one of us, as Tiny Tim would say. Good night.